Hey, man, I got to do something now. Amen. We thank Reverend Mathis for his leadership on this morning, and certainly to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to Pastor Jimerson, to this choir, and to you, my father's children. What a blessing to be here in his service one more time. Amen. Lest I hold you too long. From the Gospel of St. Matthew, if you would turn with me to chapter 25. As we're turning, I realize that there were persons praying for me as I was out of town on last weekend, and I just want to tell you how much I love you and thank you and appreciate this church for being a blessing in my life and in the life of our family. Amen. Amen. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 25, beginning at verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Amen. 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 It's getting late. Amen. It's getting late. I think that all of us, at some point along the way in our lives, whatever age we are, we like to believe that we've got some good years left. Even when we look back at the mistakes we made, the bad choices we made, some of which we're still paying for, the steps backwards we made, we still believe in our hearts that we've got some living left. But even while I make this statement, even at the age that I am, and I'll tell you if you ask me later, I still feel like I have a lot of good years left. But what I don't have, and what any of us don't have, is time to waste. When we were at the Friendship Baptist Church there in Robertson County, Tennessee, I had a thing that I would do for our students who were away at college. On Sunday mornings, I would send them a text message, mainly to say, "We're thinking about you and we're proud of you," but mostly to say, "Get up and go to church somewhere." Well, I guess at some point I'd kind of slacked off on my job, and they hadn't received their text in a while, so they started wondering what the problem was and how come I hadn't texted them. And I kind of picked with them, and I told them I thought that by now they were too grown to listen to what the preacher had to say. But I said, I told them this. I'll say, why don't you text me your goals? And then I'll let you know if any of those goals are worth anything. Well, a couple of them responded, and I told one of them, well, your goals are almost worth something. And another one, I told them, there's better than that. And the reason I gave those responses is because their initial plans are setups. Setups that are prone to waste time. Because see, if we're not careful, the goals that we set, these plans that we make, these pursuits that we undertake, if we're not careful, our focus, our basis will be on stuff that in the long run won't matter. And so here's where we kind of get into the message today. We've got to remember that it's getting late. Imagine that you are expected at an evening affair. A date, a dinner party, a banquet, a reception, a meeting, something. And all day you've been busy doing this or that. But nonetheless, the hour keeps approaching. Then you look up at one point and you realize it's getting late. What does that mean? It means I can still make it, but I've got no time to waste. I don't have time to contemplate about my wardrobe. I have time only to decide on something and get moving. Because it won't matter how good I look if I don't show up. I don't have time to pause to talk on the telephone or see what's on the television. I'm expected somewhere. And if I start giving time to peripheral stuff, I'll miss being where I was intended to be. If I'm tired, if I don't feel well, I got to go as is. It's getting late. I don't have time to wait till I'm all fixed up. I was watching a ball game some time back, and it was a football game, and one of the players had suffered a pretty significant injury, but he decided to play anyway. And when he was asked why he would play, he answered, pain is temporary, but quitting lasts forever. And what he was saying is, in essence, is that I don't know if I'll get another chance. There's no guarantee that I'll have another opportunity. So I've got to go as is. These are the byproducts of urgency. This is what the lateness of the hour brings out. It reminds one of expectations. It reminds one of purpose. It reminds one of opportunity. In other words, it reminds one of what's real. So when I say to young people, and when I say to all people, let me know your goals, and I'll tell you if it's worth anything. This is the message I'm trying to convey. It's the message I'm trying to get through to all of us. Regardless of how old or how young you may be, it's early, but it's getting late. And we don't have time to waste on stuff that isn't real. And the issue with this church age is that the church today is wasting time because the church today won't even acknowledge what's real. I know I'm right about it. If you walked around to any church in our area and you asked some member at one of those churches, how's your church doing? Oh, the Lord is blessing and he's really adding and we really growing. But right next door or right down the street, our young people are still killing themselves, killing each other, dying from lack of knowledge. Our children are still being neglected and or abandoned by parents who refuse to parent. And the reason they refuse to be parents is because they 30, 40, 50 years old, still trying to be hot mama and pimp daddy. Amen. And if they do make it to somebody's church, they being taught by and preached to by hot mama or pimp daddy. And because they refuse to parent, the children can't read, which means they can't graduate, which means they can't get a job because they can't pass the written test. They can't pass the physical test. They can't pass the drug test. So they end up making more babies that they themselves won't be a parent to. And the cycle starts all over again. And the church think we're doing all right. It's getting late in the evening. And we wasting time because we won't even acknowledge what's real. Amen. I said I asked young people. Let me ask some of y'all. What are you making out to be a goal? Is it based on what's real? For example, we make goals about relationships, but they're not based on what's real. Somebody says, well, I want a real relationship. And I hear it all the time. Where are all the real women at? Where are all the real men at? I tell you where they're at. They're steering clear of you. Because you talk about real, but you won't even acknowledge real. Hey, let me help the young men. If you want a real woman, find the one who won't lay down with you. Amen. That's the one you want. And I hear you, well, I don't know about all that, Reverend. Well, if you just want what you want, you get what you get. But it's not real. And why isn't it real? Because it's keeping you. It's getting between you and an expected appointment, a purposeful work, and an opportunity to be great. I wonder, do we see what is happening? People are making goals that can only result in dissatisfaction, disappointment, and another year of mediocrity. Same goes for the woman. If you want a real man, find the one who's too busy studying or who's too busy working or who's too busy worshiping to hang out all the time. Yeah. And because that's the one you want. Well, Reverend, I want somebody who'll spend time with me. Spend time doing what? The only thing you'll spend time doing is keeping you from an expected appointment, a purposeful work, and an opportunity to be great. And I'll say to you, if you just want what you want, then you get what you get. But I stopped by on this morning with the intent to tell somebody, you don't have time to waste. It's getting late. Well, we've mentioned a couple of times three aspects of this Christian journey. And these aspects are so significant that if they are not present in your current pursuits, you need to seriously question how real those pursuits are. In other words, you need to seriously question the worth of those pursuits. And in case you missed it, those aspects are an expected appointment, a purposeful work, and an opportunity to be great. Surely by now you have given some thought to your goals and where you hope to go, as well as what you hope to leave behind. By now, surely you have given thought to some objectives that you hope to achieve. Well, whether these goals have to do with career choices or relationship decisions or even changes in your attitude and mindset, these three aspects you must consider. Expected appointment, purposeful work, and an opportunity to be great. And if these three aspects are missing, your resolutions, your goals, your objectives, your plans, they're not real. And so here is where we enter into the text this morning. Jesus is teaching us here in chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew. And he begins by saying that the kingdom of heaven is like this. 10 virgins took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Here is that first aspect of the Christian journey, an expected appointment. They knew that the bridegroom was coming. An arrangement had already been made, that there were no questions, no doubts, no uncertainties. He was coming, and these virgins were to meet him. As you think about where you want to go, what you need to think about is where you're supposed to go. There is a specific place that you're supposed to arrive at. There is an expected appointment that has been arranged for you. Well, Reverend, how do I find out? Well, that's a good question. First, let's understand how you'll never find out. I mean, there is a way that you can do this thing that will ensure that you'll never find out what you're supposed to do. And unfortunately and tragically is the way we most often do it. Too often, too many times, we spend time, and for the purposes of for this message, we waste time concerned about what other people think or what other people have to say about my journey. Our middle son, Nicholas, he was getting ready to go to college. And there was one school that he had talked about almost since he'd been in high school. And so he applied and he was accepted. And he was excited to announce it and tell all his friends. Well, almost right away, some of his friends, I guess they're his friends, they start telling him, I wouldn't go to that school. It's not very good. Or somebody that said, I go there and I'm trying to leave. So what I told him was this. Never start your journey from someone else's experience or opinion. Yeah. Amen. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong. They may indeed be right. What I am saying, however, is that other people, especially ones who have no interest nor investment in your destiny, they cannot be your sole source for counsel. Amen. I know I'm helping somebody right here. We will take counsel from folk who don't know squat about us. We will take counsel from folks who don't give a care whether we rise or fall. We take counsel from folks who not even honest about their own situation. Maybe that person is trying to leave the school because they're trying to kick him out. I wouldn't take that job if I were you. I used to work there and they treated me bad. But maybe it's because you showed up late every day and spent most of the afternoon playing Pokemon on your phone. Until they finally got you fired. But they tell you they treat folk bad. And you walk away from an appointment that was arranged for you. Yeah. It's in the text today. 10 virgins and 5 of them didn't have no sense. Yeah. Let God be your counsel. Yeah. And that's the question for us today. Why won't God's people talk to him? Yeah. In fact, you ought to talk to him before you make any goals. Because that expected appointment, he's the one that arranged it. Why won't God's people listen to him? These 10 virgins had an appointment, and half of them missed their appointment because they were not prepared for what was expected. And that's what made it so foolish. It's one thing to be unprepared for the unexpected, but it's foolish to be prepared for something you know is coming. Yeah. I got to talk about the expected, because you do know in the story that Jesus is the bridegroom. Yeah. And right about this time, the disciples had asked him, what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus replied, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. In Mark's gospel, Jesus continued, brother shall betray brother and father shall betray son and children shall rise up against their parents. Take a look outside. Take a look around. Walk around the neighborhood and you have to know it's getting late in the evening. Your appointment is nigh. It's been on its way. But what are you wasting your time on? Well, this leads us to the second aspect of this Christian journey. For the expected appointment is in conjunction with a purposeful work. There is a place to which you are supposed to arrive, and when you get there, there's a work for you to do. Notice the text. Each of the virgins took a lamp. And in reading the parable, each one was expected to have their lamps and have their lamps lit when it came time to meet the bridegroom. So then there was a purpose for these lamps. One commentator observed that these were most likely torches. And these torches were integral parts of the wedding ceremony. So they all took their lamps, but five of them took no oil. Now, this is foolish. What good is the lamp without the oil? Yet five of them walked off with a lamp that was useless. And without a lamp, you couldn't participate. In your goals, in your plans, are you accounting for a purposeful work? Well, Reverend, how do I know if it's purposeful? Well, if your plans were to work out precisely the way you want them to, what would be the result? What would come out of it? If your job situation or your career situation or your relationship situation worked out the way you planned it, what would really come out of it? More security? A better partner? I'm here to tell you, there's better than that. When I ask people about their goals, what they tell me may not sound so bad, may even sound pretty good, but there's better. The question is it useful? At midnight, there was a cry. The bridegroom cometh. Go out and meet him. The ones who had no oil said to the wise ones, give us some of your oil. But the wise ones said, we don't have enough for both of us. Yeah. The wise one said, you need to go out and buy some. All right. In other words, now you need to go and do what you should have done in the first place. Yeah. And the foolish ones had to do it. Yeah. Because as it stands now, their condition is such that they are of no use to the ceremony. Are your plans, are they suitable for the coming of the bridegroom? It's getting late. What have you left undone? Understand what we're saying. There's nothing wrong with a career change. The question is the career change useful to the bridegroom? I want a real relationship. There's certainly nothing wrong with that as long as you can answer this question in the affirmative. Is the relationship useful to the bridegroom? Or if he were to show up tonight, would all of your plans be of no use to the ceremony? Well, if my plans work out, I'll have more money to spend. Spend on what? If it don't start with God, it ain't good enough. If my plans work out, I'll have more time. Free time for what? If it don't start with God, it ain't good enough. Well, Reverend, you know, I'm still young. I still got things I want to accomplish. Still young. You must not have been paying attention these last few weeks. You must have forgotten all that we have witnessed the last few weeks. You better take a look outside. You better check the horizon. You better look up at the stars. It's getting late in the evening. The bridegroom may tarry, but he is on the way. And he will be here at any time. When he gets here, will you be of any use to him? A great tragedy of this church age is that God's people are not preparing for God's return. God's people still make silly goals. You know what? I'm not going to be so nice to people no more. Now, don't fool yourself. You ain't been that nice to start with. this year. You know what? I'm not going to put up with stuff from people. Don't fool yourself. You ain't been that patient anyway. And besides that, what purpose does any of that serve? What use is there? People are dying. People are suffering. People are searching. And God's people talking about, I'm through being nice. God has called for his people to serve. God has called for his people to minister, not tear down. To love, not hate. To give, not take. The bridegroom is about to show up, and God's people have no oil for their lamps. Well, we got to get this to this third aspect of our Christian journey. Your plans, your goals, whatever they are, do they present the opportunity to be great? See, the problem with our goals is that even if they worked out exactly as planned, they are still incapable of extending and reaching and touching beyond ourselves. Do not ever confuse self-exalting, self-promoting, and self-serving with greatness. See, that's the chest-thumping and the camera-hugging, attention-seeking way of the culture. But that's not greatness. Greatness, true greatness, transcends the spotlight. What do I mean? When the camera is turned off and the attention is turned elsewhere, greatness still impacts. If your plans turn out the way you envision, do they have the capability to continue to have impact long after you've left the scene? Go back to what we said about the church. If the church was really doing as well as we like to say she is, she'd be leaving a mark on her community. She would be leaving the mark of the bridegroom. Now, don't tell me how great your church is because the Spirit showed up on Sunday. That's too easy to hide behind. Yeah. Tell me how great your church is because the Spirit showed up on Monday. Yeah. Don't tell me how great your plans are if all they're about is more money and better partners. Yeah. Don't tell me how great your plans are if they're even about better attitude and better family. That's good, but there's better. Will your plans impact the people around you positively and permanently in the name of Jesus? They must, or else you're just wasting time. It's getting late in the evening. Don't have time to worry about my image. Don't have time to get caught up in the distraction. Don't have time to wait for conditions to get just right. Because one day now, there will be a cry at midnight. For the Bible declares that one day, and it's coming soon, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And the trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise up. Then we which are alive shall be caught up with him in the clouds to meet King Jesus in the air. I wonder, somebody from the country, you know that song, "No Man Knows the Day or the Hour When the Lord Shall Surely Come." You better get your house in order. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. Don't know about you, but I want to be ready. Got my lamps and my oil. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. We're about through. It's getting late in the evening. Whatever you seek to do this month, this week, you ought to make sure you account for an expected appointment, a purposeful journey, and an opportunity to be great. If you don't know Jesus, that needs to be your first goal. You need to come to him right now. Because you know, he did die for you. Yes, because of your sins and because of your mess ups, he died for you just like he died for me. His death paid for our wrongs. But then he got up from the dead. He defeated death forever. That means those who are ready, death no longer rules us, but we have everlasting life. Even when this life is over, we have a home in glory with Jesus. The invitation for you today is to decide for him right now. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait till you get cleaned up. Don't talk about it on the phone with nobody. Don't wait till conditions are right. Because I stop by to remind you, it's getting late in the evening, children. And the sun is going down. And though the bridegroom tarry, he is on the way. Will you be ready when Jesus comes? Amen. Amen. And amen.
Thank you, Reverend. Thank you. I'm gonna give you the real test. The preacher just told you about being real. I'm gonna give you the real test. How many people want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. How many people want to go now? Look at all them hands drop. You didn't make the real test. As our pastor comes.
And all the people of God said amen. Amen. Did not our hearts burn within? Amen. As the man of God stood and proclaimed the word of God with great courage and without fear. I am glad that we have the opportunity at Second Baptist to help you on your journey. I'm glad that God stops by here every day. Our office is open every day from 9 to 6, and then choirs and opportunities for study takes place. We are not a shut door church. I'm not bragging, but we're not a shut door church. We're available to this community. We're available to you. And so if you're here today and you do not have a church home and you don't have, what kind of preaching was that you were talking about? What was the name of that? What's that preaching? You don't have whatever kind of preacher he said. You don't have that at this church. And so we invite you to come. Deacons are coming forward. No pimp daddy pastor here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church is standing.
Unto his throne, oh, of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. It's good to know. Oh, it's good to know him. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know him. I'm glad I know him. He is good. He's everything I need. He is good. Everything you need. He's good. Good to know him. Good to know him. Oh yes. He is good. He is good. Oh yes, it's good to know. It's good to know him. I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I know him. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. It's good to know the Lord.
And all the people of God said amen. Amen. Thank you. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. You may be seated. Amen.